Hello everyone. Today we'll talk about MicroPython, Python for microcontrollers, and embedded Linux with a focus on sensor-oriented applications because that's what I specialize in. So I'm from a company called Sound Sensing. We monitor machinery such as ventilation systems, etc., for a building like this, for example, and we do then automatic detection of problems and notify the maintenance team. And we use MicroPython to prototype devices, and then they usually go into a dedicated device using Bluetooth low energy. So the goal of this presentation is that you as an embedded or software developer, either you're a professional or hobbyist, learn enough about MicroPython to consider it, at least, for a future project. Or maybe you will rule it out based on some information that you get. So who here has played with MicroPython so before? Yeah, that's quite a lot. Okay, hopefully you'll learn something. And note that there's a MicroPython stand as well in the AW building. So afterwards, I will go there and I'm happy to chat with others about MicroPython, whether you've used it before or not. Who here has used Python? So just plain Python on the things. That's basically everyone. That's great. So you'll especially learn something. You'll be able to use your skills in a new domain. So I focus on sensor node systems. Just very broadly, you can consider this as some sort of device that will need to read sensor data, process that sensor data, and transmit or act on it. So this could be an Internet of Things type device, some kind of logging device. It could be a very wearable device on your phone or on a smartwatch or something like this. Or it could be used in like embedded and specialized, like we monitor machinery. It could be used in robotics, industrial automation, etc. So there's like a large amount of different things, but they have similar characteristics. You need to read, process, and transmit or act. And in this case, we'll also consider, we'll focus mostly on this processing part, but I'll cover the others as well, where we can also do some digital signal processing and machine learning. We'll really push that little Python on these little devices. So there's just some kind of examples that you can have. And we have actually code examples for my project for several of these. So we can go everything from really simple temperature logging, just regular logging, very simple data and small amounts, to image classification, quite complex, or audio classification. And the outline, we'll do a quick introduction to the project of MicroPython. We'll do a tour of some of the features, focusing on the sensor stuff, sensor communication, connectivity, so more usually online, or BLE, as mentioned in the previous talk. And then especially native C modules. So you don't have to use just Python with MicroPython, you can combine it with C, which is a really powerful feature and allows you to do much more. And then we'll cover a bit of sensors that use digital signal processing or machine learning, and a tiny bit about embedded Linux and MicroPython. So MicroPython was created in 2014, over 10 years ago. So it's now a really mature project, I would say. It supports devices with 64 kilobytes of RAM and more, although I would really recommend going for something like 256 or 512 kilobytes to really get the benefits. It's a bit cramped below that. Supports a lot of different microcontroller families and tries to be as compatible with CPython as you can. And if you're just starting out and you haven't used MicroPython before, I would really recommend starting an ESP32 device. It's one of the best supported ports, very powered. You can get chips very cheaply, but also complete devices that just, you know, you flash them and they run MicroPython. So even if you don't like, or if you're not that familiar with electronics yet, then, you know, you might want to start up there instead of buying a chip. Installing MicroPython for ESP32 or similar, it's very simple. ESP32, you have the programming tools are in pip for your Python package manager. You can just pip install that. Two commands to flash your MicroPython, and you have a little Python running on your little device. So basically from there on, you know how it goes, at least for the general programming stuff. You might want to install this MP remote, which is just a convenient tool for communicating with your device from your computer. Typically you're plugged in over USB, but you can also do like your REPL over Bluetooth or over Wi-Fi. Which can be convenient. For example, if it's deployed somewhere in your home, you don't want to have to go to, you know, plug in all the time. There's several IDEs that support MicroPython from like standard like VS Code or dedicated ones like Viper IDE online or Tony. simple things are simple in MicroPython, which is fantastic. So this here is the complete code in order to create a temperature sensor. We are using one external library. In this case, this device just has a temperature sensor in the accelerometer, so we're actually talking to that to get the temperature, but it would be very similar if you would get it from a digital temperature sensor or analog one. So this is using async I/O, which makes this kind of, you know, network type things quite convenient and concise, and we're communicating over MQTT. So yeah, this all fits in like one slide, which is super nice, and that's a very easy way to get started. If you use Viper ID, you can, after you flash your device in the previous step, you can open Chromium and that URL, and that's all you need to program your device with that. And you have the REPL access and have many other features. So it's really convenient. In an educational setting, this is fantastic because you can just give people these devices with MicroPython pre-installed. They plug it in to their device with the Chromium, and you have everything. It also works on Android. If that's too much, I mean, if you don't have the hardware, which you might not, you are waiting for, you know, getting it from AliExpress or DigiKey or something, then you can, for example, go to this wokwi.com. They have a browser-based simulator, which looks something like this, where you can start programming right away. So if you find me talking very boring, go into there and start programming. There's also PyScript. It's a project for Python in the browser. They also have a MicroPython REPL, just a plain REPL on the front page. Just go to the front page, you have a MicroPython. It takes like 100 milliseconds to load. Quick tour. So MicroPython is Python. It is a Python implementation, but from scratch, right? And for these constrained devices. So which means there is not 100% CPython compatibility, like the Python that we're used to running. There's a very high degree, and the goal is to get as close as possible. But there are some differences that are inherent. Like when you're running under 1 megabyte of RAM or 100 kilobytes of RAM, there are some, for example, some modules in the standard CPython library which doesn't really make sense there. So it's quite minimal what you get when you flash your base MicroPython, but then you can install libraries from MicroPython lib, for example, to get more featured libraries from the CPython standard library, or common things like the request module, which is used for HTTP communication in Python. There's this documentation about known incompatibilities, and most of them have like a good reason. Like there's like a reason where it's really tricky, or it could just cost too much to implement it in the perfectly compatible way. There's also a bunch of things that are not implemented. So like CPython, they add feature, of course, all the time, and for a project to follow that is quite challenging. So you will find on the issues, you will find for each CPython major release, you will find documentation about like what's implemented, how are people considering to implement it, and if you have a pet feature that's not implemented, well, then you can go there and you can help out. So there's no C module, CFFI compatibility. So that means like most of your pure Python stuff will work if you massage it a little bit, maybe use a little bit older syntax or not the latest stuff. But C modules like Python or Pandas or NumPy or such doesn't work at all because the C API is different. But there is a C API. We will get to that. It's also garbage collected, and this is very important on a tiny device where it's not the fastest thing in the world. That cycle will take like 1 to 10 milliseconds, and it's very variable. So when you're doing low latency stuff, that can be tricky. So if you have a use case that is that, check and do some prototyping and see if that's realistic. You have some control over the garbage collector, like you can enable, disable, force collection and so on, but you can't do like incremental GC or an arena GC or something like that. So yeah, you will find it very familiar. Small scripts will work, but large programs will need restructuring and refactoring. And some of this is due to the nature of going onto a tiny device. So hardware access, that's of course additional from CPython. CPython doesn't have this. But Python has this machine module with a set of classes to do your typical hardware peripherals. So this is what you do, GPIO, analog, digital, digital buses like SPI, I2C, communication, etc. This is mostly combined in there. So that's something to familiarize yourself with when you actually want to talk to something around your device. And it's common for all ports. There's a high degree of standardization by now. a few exceptions, but it means that your code will be portable across different devices. Quite portable, at least. There's a file system, so then my programming with MicroPython is more like, you know, programming with a little computer rather than like the classical microcontroller device. So it's much more familiar, you get a Python experience. Usually, it's on file system is on a flash or on a, or you can put it on an SD card or both. LittleFS is recommended. That's like a proper embedded file system. FAT32 is not great, but it's supported a lot of places. So if you want to expose it over USB, you kind of have to do that. And that means you can save and load from standard files using open and like this completely stand. That's just Python by that time. And then MP Remote is useful because then that has some tools to easily allow you to copy things to that file system on your microcontroller or to copy things back. So which is really nice, especially when we're working with data. We want to be able to store data. We want to be able to store data in a standard format. So I can save audio files as a WAV file, and I can just copy it over and read it as a WAV file instead of, you know, munging with custom data formats, and it usually gets very messy. This makes it super easy. There's a package manager called MIP, introduced right around 2 years ago. So you can then, from your computer, with your USB-attached device, you can do MP remote install and then a library that will be pulled from MicroPython lib, or you can specify via GitHub where it comes, or you can use a specific URL to basically get it from anywhere, which is accessible on HTTP. That can you can use that with your computer when your device is connected. Or you can, if you have configured Wi-Fi or internet somehow on your device, like on the ASP32, you can use MIP as a package manager, as a module. So it doesn't even need to go through your computer, which is super, it can be quite nice. But what I find the most interesting is that you can install native C modules at runtime as well. So you don't, not just Python code you can add, but you can add some native code, which is then accessible as a Python module. For that, you need to specify a full URL, and you need to specify the architecture and MicroPython version. So it requires a bit of care to pick the right thing. But you can just drop in new native code, which is super cool and quite unique for an embedded platform. And that's what I use a lot for machine learning and DSP stuff. Connectivity, Bluetooth Low Energy is very well supported. There's a high-level interface called IOBLE. Do use that if you can, and only go to the Bluetooth Low Level if you have to. It's much more convenient. It's one of actually the most pedagogical ways of dealing with Bluetooth Low Energy, in my experience, in a better world. Wi-Fi, there's the network.lan VLAN module and Ethernet on network.lan modules. Supported on at least many of the most common ports. So yeah, that means you can send things online, you can fetch things online, you can build things like this, something like this Tesla example shown before would be feasible, or just, you know, post something to social media, like you detect an image of your cat and you send it directly to the interwebs. That's what it's for, right? So C modules, this is my favorite feature of MicroPython, because it allows us to combine efficient C code with convenient Python scripting, as is basically how we program Python on our computers for data science type things like Pandas, NumPy, TensorFlow, Keras, PyTorch. All of that is implemented in C or C++ or Rust or something. And then accessed through Python. And you can do the same with MicroPython, which is super powerful. And you can mix and match as much as you want, find that balance. So you can implement that as a user or as a library. I have one library I will show you. Of course, the MicroPython modules that come with the core that you use, they are a lot of them. It uses Python as much as it can, but some of it is in C. And then you can also use, actually, as long as some code can either compile to C or expose it in C API, you can use that as well. So there's a project that goes through a WASM ahead of time compiler, and then you can do C++, Rust, Sig, TinyGo, etc. So there's a lot of powerful. That is quite new. So if you're doing that, beware that that's probably not like super smooth, but super cool, and we can help us improve that support. A module looks something like this. You at the bottom is the declaration of the module, like what kind of entry points do you have. In this case, there's a, it's called global, but that's actually attached on the module object, the factorial name, and that exposes this factorial function. And then often you put, as long as it's nothing, you know, with the binding kind of layer, usually has plain C code from the outside. So you can include a library, write a couple of wrappers like that, expose it, and you can use your C code in MicroPython. And thanks to the package manager, you can drop it in at runtime. And there are two ways of packaging the C modules. Native modules, those are ones that can be dropped in at runtime. There are some limitations there around the linker. There's a pull request which has not been approved, but it's not yet merged, by Volodymyr Shiminsky. That improves that a lot. So this is coming in the next release. And the maturity is a little bit low. And then the external C modules, that's the modules that are built into a firmware, like a firmware build. That's kind of traditional build process. And that's really excellent. That's like how it's been doing in the last 10 years. So yeah, a little bit pick and choose, but we're really improving this native modules goings. So audio input, you can as well do with the machine I2S. It supports digital microphones, external ADCs, etc. Unfortunately, right now, PDM microphones or the protocol is not supported. So that's something where it's ongoing. We would love help if someone is working in that area. There's a lot of good examples for dealing with I2C and audio by Mike Teachman. And it can look something like this. Camera input. There's no standard API for this, like a generic port that's available on all ports. But there's a good project for ESP32 called MicroPython Camera API, which is really good. They provide pre-built binaries that you can put on your ESP32, which has a camera on it, and it really works. There's also OpenMV, which is a complete MicroPython distribution with a lot of computer vision and machine vision modules already built in. So that's really powerful for that specific niche, if that's what you're interested in. So a couple of examples, sensor nodes with MicroPython and EMLearn. EMLearn is a library that I maintain and has MicroPython bindings for digital scene processing and machine learning. And here's an example of a noise sensor measuring the sound level. For that, you need to do this A-weighting curve, and you need to do infinite impulse response filter in order to do that. There is a standard way. If you try to do that in MicroPython, like even with a few performance tricks that is available in MicroPython, it still takes like almost 10 times as much time as you have per instance of time. So it doesn't work. But if you do this, you add the C module in, and it runs in a fourth of the CPU they have. So then it works really well. There's example. These are all available as examples online. And you can do human activity detection. This is like what tracks what you're doing. And that's using a random forest, trained with scikit-learn. And that runs 10x faster. This you can do with Python, but it's much faster with C. Image classification with convolutional neural network. You can do like 1 to 10 FPS of small images with a few layers CNN. So you can do quite a lot of simple tasks with this. That's also available as a C module that you can just drop in. And for embedded Linux, motivation there is memory efficiency. So if you have a device which has under 512 megabytes of RAM running Linux, regular Python can be a bit painful. For example, scikit-learn will take 128 megabytes for just loading these modules. You haven't started doing anything useful yet. So that's can be painful. And the same you can do in a few megabytes with MicroPython. Going a bit fast, so we have time for some questions. And the Unix MicroPython port, though, it's really good for testing. Like, I do almost all my development of the business logic on my machine, and then I run it on device for the hardware. But the hardware parts in the Unix module is very sparse. So we would love some help if anyone's interested in actually deploying that and using hardware to implement that. For example, in Raspberry Pi, we should be able to use GPIO, et cetera, or I2C, and so on. So to summarize the takeaways, I say that MicroPython is a very productive environment, mature over 10 years now, especially for sensor devices. That's what I'm familiar with. It gives the familiar Python environment and ease of use, excellent connectivity like Wi-Fi, etc. Really convenient, fast to get that up and running. This MIP package manager is nice, especially the native modules, and you can just drop in new modules. So that's the Python experience. And Peremote is very useful. And then you can implement a lot of quite advanced processing of sensor data, especially when you drop in some C modules here and there for efficiency reasons. And then we provide this EMLearn MicroPython library, which is a set of modules for digital stream processing and machine learning. So to just make that super easy, you don't have to write all those modules yourself. So more, tomorrow I'm giving a talk about low milliwatt-sized machine learning, so like really going more into the C-level and really low-power machine learning on microcontrollers. If you're interested in that, come check it out. And then there's a stand about MicroPython in the AW building, and I will go there after the first Zephyr talk and hope to see people there. There are stickers, boards, devices, other people interested in the same stuff, so happy to chat there later and hear what you're interested in. So thank you very much.
So we have a time for like one question.
When I want to write some code for MicroPython, I can choose between native or C. C's obviously faster, but what's the size difference between the two in your experience?
Oh yeah, that depends a lot on the type of task. It can be quite small actually, but.
You mean C quite smaller than Python, or all the way around?
No, so your Python, the MicroPython has a lot of tools to make it the bytecode quite efficient. And there are actually some, I didn't show it, but there are some, there's like an ahead of time compiler that you can add as a decorator to your function. And they will actually, there's a compiler that will compile that into native code on your device. And that will basically bring you to C level size. Yeah. So it can be really close, but then there are some specific cases where it can be quite different. But runtime, like the execution speed, that's like 10x. Can be 100x because MicroPython is quite bad with floats because they're all proper Python objects. So each number is at least one allocation. So if you're adding two numbers, that's like four allocations. Painful. But I always start with Python, add these magical decorators, see if it's fast enough, and only if it's not fast enough or small enough, then I use a C module. So, and that works like 90% of the time. You just stay in Python land.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.